And welcome back. You are on Green Left Radio. And on the phone line this morning, we have got activists yelling at racist dogs person, just general staunch, awesome human, Tom Tanuki. Welcome. Oh, hang on. Whoa. Sorry, I forgot to press the button. You there?
I'm here.
Hey. Now, Tom.
Hey.
There's been some. I spotted a video of you yesterday, and you were looking pretty upset about events that have happened in Hosier Lane recently. Can you tell us a bit?
Oh yeah. I was having a gentrified meltdown in Hosier Lane. That was my video. That was me taking the piss out of the hysterical reaction from many Melbourne laneway culture lovers to. To the fact that a few lads went along and jet paint bombed the entirety of Hosier Lane. And, you know, there was a huge reaction against that, but I think it's rooted in people not really understanding wrath culture. Not that I'm a wrath veteran, I'm not. I've just got a long history around, I guess, hip-hop, a lot of mates in hip-hop culture. I knew a lot of graph artists over time. And it immediately struck me as something that was hilarious what they went and did. I immediately got why they did it. I immediately noticed that, like, nowadays, like, Hosier Lane is a really big popular tourist attraction, and most people don't really get those dynamics in graph culture. And so they were all mourning the loss of this beautiful artwork, which, you know, I understand in principle, but I just don't think it reflects an understanding of graph culture. So I took the piss out of it. Yeah.
I mean, it's a tourist attraction. Shouldn't that actually add to the tourist attraction if a dynamic, organic, real refreshing of the space happens? Like,
well, you know, the art's been commodified over the years, and street art and its marketability as a tourist attraction has been a perfect vehicle for that commodification. You know, there was a time, you know, my memory of, again, being around a lot of graph artists and what have you was back in the early 2000s. And even back then, there was a developing schism between what was seen as, I guess, authentic graph culture, which involved a degree of illegality. You know, people would go and rack their paints to go and bomb trains. It was all illegal, and there was seen as a component of that that you kind of had to go through, or that was a prerequisite part of graph culture versus the growing, you know, street art culture, which, you know, I'm not really disparaging as such. And a lot of those people that grew up in authentic graph culture eventually, you know, needed to, you know, make some money and what have you. And street art for those kings of the graph scene has been vital for them. But nevertheless, there's that important distinction. People used to say to me that they felt like graph was the last, I guess, uncommercialized or unshackled element of hip-hop culture. And so that's kind of the background, you know. I mean, back in the day, the most hilarious thing to me out of all this is that you've now got Victoria Police airing footage on their page of the people that did the paint bombing in an effort to try and catch them. Whereas when I, you know, my recollection when I grew up is that they used to have this group called the District Support Group, who were a specific team of VicPol whose job it was to, you know, catch, beat up graph artists, raid their homes, make their lives hell. That was police's biggest association with this. And now, thanks to the commodification of it, you've got people going in there and you know, you've got police actually trying to catch people who are doing, I suppose, an authentic or anti-authority or, you know, anti-establishment bit of graph culture in what's supposed to be a heart of graph culture in Melbourne. We're an upside-down world, mate.
But what's the... Okay, so the stuff that they were painting over in Hosier Lane, had that been commissioned by the people who own the buildings, or was that also quote-unquote illegal? In which case, how come the cops are chasing people with fire extinguishers full of paint, but they're not chasing the people who did the stuff that they're painting over. That doesn't really add up to me.
Well, I'm not an expert on what's going on in Hosier Lane nowadays, but I do believe there's a mixture of the fact that there's commissions, yes, and also, you know, I know there to be, nowadays, they have security stationed outside Hosier Lane at night time to stop people from going in to put pieces up in Hosier Lane, which is, you know, it's a complete opposite of anything spontaneous enough to deserve an Oak Bath culture, you know. It's got, you know, it's lost that altogether. And so that was forcing those people, they had no other option, that if they were going to do something, they had to do it at high speed, because they knew that it would cause, I'm convinced that they didn't realise it would cause the level of reaction that it caused, you know, this strange sort of, you know, hand-wringing over the loss of culture. But, you know, they knew that they would try and protect the lane, so they had to go in at daytime, and they had to go and do it really, really quickly. So that's the way that they did that. But, yeah, all I know is that they've got security trying to protect people from going in to do the very act that the lane would appear to be celebrating, which shows you all you need to know about the authenticity of anything going on in that lane. Look, going up and down the lane, there's a ton of incredibly talented people, but it's transient art anyway. It's going in 2 days. It's getting replaced by something else.
Hmm.
And that new thing that it might be replaced by, well, it could just be cocks on a wall. We can't sit there. Or it could be someone's piece, you know. It could be someone tagging over something, you know. That's a thing that the world of graph sorts out amongst itself. Where, you know, us as consumers, you know, or as people wandering through there or trying to collect a series of laneway culture postcards about Melbourne, not really our place to say what goes on. If we get to enjoy it, then we should enjoy all aspects of it and try and understand it, not whinge about it as something that we're supposed to own as a tourist attraction. We don't.
Yeah, and really micromanage. Like, yeah. Enjoy the mongrel and watch it unfold, and don't pretend to know enough about it to want to micromanage it. Like,
100%. Actually, really, it's the most exciting thing that's happened to Hosier Lane in years. Particularly, not just because of what happened there, but particularly because it's caused this big hand-wringing reaction from all the laneway culture lovers and anyone with a commercial stake, like Culture Kings, the big urban chain there, and yeah, anyone with a big commercial stake in protecting that lane, and, you know, and in the police as well. So it's caused all that reaction, and I know what that will do with grass culture. That's like a red rag to a bull. They're going back there. And that's what excites me. This is not... They should not have reacted the way they did, because that, I think that lane's in for it now, which I'm really excited for.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you know, funny enough, before this interview, I didn't even really get the issue, but you've enlightened me a lot more, Tom. I guess the kind of question is, I want to hear a bit of your comment. There's actually a bit of a funny debate amongst left-wing people I know on my Facebook feed. There are some people that are sort of against the defacing, sort of on the basis that they thought that the defacing itself was apolitical to a level that it wasn't, that it's not supportable. But then some are countering that by saying, well, in the end, you know, the establishment's kind of reaction kind of means that we kind of have to sort of take a side. We have to side with the people doing the defacing, because I think in the Herald Sun, I think the Herald Sun has been calling for these people to be arrested or jailed or whatever for the attack against humanity that they've done. And I kind of want to just hear your comments on some of that debate.
Yeah, I find it funny because I think when I see in all these reactions from the Herald Sun, I mean, you know, 15, 20 years ago, they were calling for all of these people to be arrested. There really were no legal murals. There wasn't really a space for that. There might have been private organisations or what have you that would pay people amounts of money. Graph artists might have had, you know, would have publishings on campuses or what have you and sell those off to people. But there wasn't a public area that was reserved aside for legal murals. And you know, Herald Sun, pick pole. All of them were just baying for all of their blood. That was the stance now. So I see in anyone's reaction who's going, you know, the same people that were doing that kind of thing before, and now they're going, you know, arrest the people who are ruining this legal street art. I don't trust it. I see that its roots are only modification. So that's why I would stand on the side of all these people. I'm sure for the people whose lovely murals were, you know, whose lovely legal pieces, commissioned or not, were up in that lane, that it might have been frustrating to see someone take on over all of them. But not too much, because that's draft culture and that's public areas, and they would understand that a high turnover area,
totally,
like Hosier Lane, runs the risk of that happening.
It's not under a bridge out in Sunbury. It's like in the prime spot. And the more prime the spot, the less, you know, the less length of time it's probably going to be there, unless you are the absolute king of the graffiti culture and people know not to go over your art.
Well, yeah, you've identified another thing. But yeah, I mean, there's a degree of authentic grass culture rules wherein, you know, depending on reputation and your status, that would impress the likelihood of someone not going over you. Or, you know, they might do it anyway, and then there'd be a conflict there. So these are all parts of grass culture. These are all important distinctions to make. But the whole thing is that the quantification throws all those rules out. Instead of not going over someone being a matter of respect, no, it becomes a matter of money and tourism. Instead of, you know, how long, you know, who gets to go in there being a matter of, like, how vibrant, you know,
how good your
real
art.
The culture is, it becomes a matter of security guards standing outside there to stop people from doing the very thing that leads to culture like that in the first place. So that commodification has thrown all the rules out. Therefore, I would stand with anyone who's either taking the mick out of it or actively undermining it by going there with the jet paint thing. I just hope it keeps happening, and I hope they all manage to get out of the hands of the cops, because any old graph friends of mine will tell you the cops have decades and decades of history of being very violent and destructive towards graph artists. They've never been their friend, you know, so it's pretty hypocritical, the cops out there seeking people that deface graph there.
So that they can deface their faces. What's the go with, just for the uninitiated, are you able to comment a bit on the fire extinguisher thing? Like, if this was not Hosier Lane, it was just the side of a building out in the boondocks, it's already got some pieces on there, maybe they've been there for a while, maybe it's looking a bit tired. How does the fire extinguisher thing work? It's kind of like...
Well, I mean, it's just one variant of, like, you know, high-pressure paint. But we get, you know, it's not only necessarily done to go over pieces. People might recall seeing very large pieces sprayed with high-pressure hoses, and fire extinguishers are one of them, but, you know, that's one variant. But using that to very quickly spray large messages up on walls, it's one sort of variant or way of doing, I suppose, radical graffiti, really, you know. It doesn't take much time. It lets you cover a lot of surface area. You know, there's also people that will do things like roller painting areas. You can find some old, you can still see on top of old buildings in the city, certain old graph artists whose main contribution was to just, you know, scale huge buildings and then use roller paint to paint very large, you know, just their name on things, but up in very inaccessible parts of the city. So it's just like a, I suppose I see it as a sort of a lower, you know, as a more simple side of putting up, you know, contributing to grass culture, or just, in this case, perhaps undermining everything that was taking place there in the first place. It didn't take long. It's very easy to do.
Yeah, my understanding is a bit of a reset. It kind of goes over it, and then probably in days and weeks to come, you'd expect to see perhaps some more sophisticated pieces to follow, assuming there's not bloody security guards standing watch.
Yeah, but now you've got people are going to rush in. time's at the absolute essence, you know, and not just because there's a competition to grab that free space, but also because the cops have now decided that it's the most important thing in Melbourne, you know, that it must be protected at all costs. But you see, I went in there the day after, and what I loved is that someone had used some of that free space, which was right outside Culture Kick there, but again, the large urban wear clothing store that's decided to situate itself and sort of, you know, in the eyes of many, leech off of the graph culture going on in the lane to sort of support its hip hop clothing sales. Anyway, so they're in there, and that's a lot of people don't like the presence of them in there in hip hop culture, you know. But on either side of that, someone's used that blank canvas space outside their store to put up a piece saying Culture Vulture, which is, you know, and they've done that on the very night because I went there the next day and that was already there, you know. So that was obviously pretty, it's pretty important for people. And people are repeatedly doing that outside that shop. I think that the presence of that shop in that lane is going to, you know, increase the likelihood that the attacks keep happening. And that, if I could describe putting grass up in a grass lane as an attack, you know what I mean? I'm probably using the lingo of the Herald Sun myself there now. But, you know, at the end of the day, people are just resisting the commodification of grass culture, and I really admire that.
Okay, nice. All right, we've got to wrap it up. There's some other people coming in next. Thanks heaps for having a chat with us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me. Cheers. Have a good one.
All right. Au revoir. Tom Tanuki there. Culture King reporting on culture vultures and Herald Sun scandals in Hosier Lane.